Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir, Daf Yud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. As we begin our shiur today, we review a Machlokes Tanoim that we learned on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Daf Dalet. A Machlokes between Rav Shimon and Chachomim. If someone, upon accepting the Zeris, only accepts one of the rules of Naziris, as we have been discussing, there are three essential rules involved in being a Nazir. One may not eat or drink grape products, one may not become Tamei, and one may not take haircuts. And the Gemara quoted a Machlokes Tanoim, if someone only accepted one of those three rules upon themselves, is that an effective declaration of Naziris? Rav Shimon held it was not, and the Chachamim held that it was. Teaches us our Mishnah, Mozguloy Asakois, if they poured a cup of wine for someone, Vama Hareini Nozir Mimenu, and the person says, I'm a Nozir from this cup, Harei is a Nozir, he's still considered a Nozir. And the Rosh says that this is a valid declaration of Naziris, even according to Rav Shimon. Because, as the Rosh explains, it's not a situation where the person said specifically, I only want to be a Nazir from one of the halakhas, only from wine. Rather, it's a situation where the person said he's a Nazir. The only thing that initiated and instigated that he should accept upon himself a vow of Naziris was this situation where he was offered a cup of wine. But it's not to mean, says the Rosh, that Rav Shimon will not agree that he's a full-fledged Nazir. There are other Mefarshim that disagree with the Rosh and say that this halacha was said only according to the opinion of a Chachamim, who, as we just said, even if one accepts upon himself only one of the halachas of Naziris, according to the Chachamim, he would be a Nazir. The other Mefarshim, however, disagree. Ma'aseh B'Sheches continues the Mishnah, telling us a story about a woman, Shaisa Shekoira, who was drunk, and they poured for her a cup of wine. And she said, I'm going to be a Nazir. And the Chachamim said, all she meant to say was that this cup of wine should be prohibited for me to drink from. The Mefarshim explained, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, that the woman who was drunk in our Mishnah is not referring to a situation that she was heavily intoxicated, for such a woman's statements have no halachic validity. Rather, the woman was somewhat drunk, and the Gemara will explain why she made the statement and how we understand the statement. However, the Rishash says, and we'll understand the explanation of the Rishash better as we get into the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem, that this woman, in the specific situation being referred to in our Gemara, was not inebriated at all. Rather, the situation here was that this was a woman who had a propensity to drinking. She was somewhat of an alcoholic. Ask the Gemara, if we learn the Mishnah, it seems Maisa Lister. We have a contradiction. First, the Mishnah said that if somebody was offered a cup of wine and he said, Hareini Nozmi Menu, it's an effective means of becoming a Nazir. And the very same Mishnah then quotes a story with this woman where it's not considered that she became a Nazir. Amrit Reisha Hareza Nazir. In the Reisha, we said that this is an effective declaration of Naziris. Vahodatani. And then our Mishnah teaches us, Maisa Bisha Achas. Alma Bahayud Asr. She only may not drink this cup of wine. Hayen Achrin Ashari. She may be able to drink other cups of wine. Why? If this is an effective means of being a Nazir, she's not allowed to drink wine. Answers the Gemara Chasuri Mechzav HaKitani. The Mishnah should be understood in the following manner. Mazgul is a kais. You have a regular situation of a person who was offered a cup of wine. Vamar, and the person when being offered a cup of wine says, Hareini Nozmi Menu. He accepts upon himself Naziris, Hareza Nozir. He's considered a Nozir. However, Vim Shikahu, if this is a person who was drunk, and he says, Hareini Nozmi Menu, all it means is, he's not a Nozir, he's not a Nozir. My Tama, why? command the Amar, Halayrai Kamhu. What the person really only intended to say was that he should not be allowed to drink wine, this cup of wine. Ask the Gemara, if that's all he meant, V'chitem, if that's all he meant, that he doesn't want to drink this cup of wine, Lema Hachi, let him say what he means. Why does he use the words Hareini Nazir? Answers the Gemara, Sover, Meisenli, Achrina, Metzarenli. This person thinks that he's going to be offered more cups of wine. And there are two pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that it is the common custom of people, not that it's necessarily correct, to offer people who are drunk, people who are alcoholics, cups of wine. This person wants to get the people not to do that. So he recognizes that the best way for him to say this is by saying, I'm a Nazir. And people then will no longer offer him any wine. Or another pshat is that a person who's an alcoholic, drinking wine, could be physically harmful to him. And he's concerned that he's going to be offered cups of wine by people. And how does he avoid being tempted to drink wine? He's somewhat of an alcoholic. What he says is, Areni Nazir. But he doesn't really mean to be a Nazir. What he really just means is to keep people away from offering him to drink. Emelahu ham nasa de psikalahu. I'm going to make a strong, absolute statement that will prevent them from offering me further cups of wine. And the Mishnah says, Maisanami bisha achas. And in fact, there was once such an incident, and the Chum said that she's not considered a Nazir, she's only prohibited from drinking wine. Now we can understand the Pshat of the Rishash. We're not referring necessarily, says the Rishash, to a person who had drunk wine at all. Rather, we're referring to a situation to a person who is an alcoholic and is working on not drinking wine and is concerned that he will be tempted to drink wine. And this is the way he gets people not to offer him any wine. But he didn't necessarily drink any wine at all in this case. In fact, I saw Machloikis Rishonim. It may very well be that not only is this person not going to be a Nazir, but it's more than that. The person will even be allowed to drink the cup of wine. Because they explained that this person's goal wasn't really to stop drinking wine. His goal was to stop people from offering him cups of wine with his concern that it'll cause him to drink too much wine. And therefore, he may even, according to those Rishonim, drink even this cup of wine. However, it seems that Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that although he's not a Nazir, drinking this one cup of wine that he was offered would certainly be prohibited. The Rashba asks, we have a rule, Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. If a person makes a statement and then he comes and says, well, I really meant something else with that statement, it's a situation of Dvarim Shebelev, he said something, it's not what he articulated, and the Halacha is Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. So ask the Rashba, why in the case of our Gemara would a person made the statement, Hareini Nazir, but with Dao was saying, well, really the person has a problem, he's an alcoholic, why isn't that considered a Dvarim Shebelev? So the Rashba answers, that when do we apply the concept of Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim, is when the words he's saying, the explanation he's giving, contradicts what he's saying. So there we say, Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim, you made an absolute statement, Dvarim Shebelev cannot contradict your statement. However, in a situation such as ours, where his explanation is not in conflict with the declaration that he made, this is not contrary, says the Rashba, to the concept of Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim, and he will be considered only having made a nether from drinking wine and not being a Nazir. And the Karen Oira goes on to explain, this pshat that we're giving of the Gemara with the Rishonim is only because the declaration that was made in our Mishnah was a situation of Yodos Nadorim. He didn't say Hareini Nazir. What happened was, he said Hareini Nazir Mimenu. So since it's not the perfect declaration of Naziris, that's why we could say and we could accept his explanation. However, in a situation, says the Koran Ayra, that were a person to say, even if the person has this problem of being an alcoholic, were the person to make a full-fledged statement of saying Hareini Nazir, and then he wants to start coming to us with explanations, says the Koran Ayra, even if we follow the explanation of the Rashba, he would still be a Nazir. Continues the Mishnah. Hareini Nazir, if somebody makes a vow of Naziris, that I should be allowed to drink wine. Or he makes a statement, I should be allowed to become Tamei Tamesim. Harei is a Nazir. He's a Nazir. And we're going to explain in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, is this the opinion of the Chachamim, or does it even represent the opinion of Rav Shimon? The Mefarshim ask that why in a situation where a person said, I'm going to be a Nazir, but I should be allowed to be Tamei, allowed to be Matam myself to Mason, do we have a concern? Maybe, asked Mefarshim, what he's intending to do is become a Nazir Shimshin. And as we learned earlier in Masechta, a Nazir Shimshin may not eat or drink grape products, he may not cut his hair, but he may become Tamei Lameisim. So maybe the person in our Mishnah with this statement was intending to become a Nazir Shimshin. Answer the Mefarshim. Naziris Shimshin is a specific status, and one only becomes a Nazir Shimshin if he clearly says that that's what he meant to do. But if a person didn't say that, then that's not considered a situation of Naziris Shimshin. Some continues the Mishnah. Yedei Anishyesh Naziris. I am aware that there is Naziris. Avil any Yedei, but I wasn't aware Shal Nazir Osir B'Yayin, that a Nazir may not drink wine. Hareza Osir, he's still like any other Nazir, not allowed to drink wine. He's considered a full-fledged Nazir. Shimon Matir, or Shimon, according to Ishita, as we explained at the beginning of our Shir, if a person did not accept upon himself all of the halachas of being a Nazir, that he's not a Nazir according to Rav Shimon, and therefore this individual who did not accept upon himself the Isser of drinking wine is not considered a Nazir. And as the Mefarshim explained, what is the Mishnah, how do we understand the Mishnah as we continue learning the previous Mishnayos? We already learned the opinion of Rav Shimon that unless one accepts upon himself all of the Hilchas and Naziris, he's not a Nazir. So the Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah is coming to teach us a Chiddush in the opinion of Rav Shimon. Not only in a case where a person is aware that a Nazir may not drink wine, and he tried to become a Nazir that should be allowed to drink wine, does Rav Shimon consider his statement and his Naziris ineffective? But even in a case where it was an error, he didn't realize the halacha, still Rav Shimon will continue with his opinion that it's not a valid way of becoming a Nazir. Continues the Mishnah. Yedei ani, says the person, I am aware that Nazir also b'yayin, that Nazir may not drink wine. El sava yisi shecham materially. I thought that the chamim will permit me to drink wine. Rabnei she'en any yochel lichyos b'lo yayin. In those days, wine was considered many times to have a therapeutic purpose. And he says, I need wine, it's important for my life. It's part of my diet. Oyim nesh ani kaivus amesim. I'm a grave digger for a livelihood, and I can't remain without digging graves and becoming tamei. Harei ze mutter. In this case, he's not a Nazir. Rav Shimon Oyser, Rav Shimon says he remains a Nazir, and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem will explain why here we have a reverse opinion, Rav Shimon considering him still a Nazir, and the Chamim not. The Chabina Rav, based on this Mishnah, and the Shail Sechuvah Shail Meshev, say from here we see that even though the halacha is that one may not benefit from a mace, from a dead body, one may receive payment for being a grave digger or being a funeral director. Because that's what this person says. My entire livelihood is working with dead people, and therefore I should be permitted to do it, even though I accept it upon myself in the Zeris. If he wasn't making any money, what was he saying? And says Shabina Ra perhaps will say that he was working with non-Jewish corpses. Says in Shemini Rav that there's an opinion of the Uraim that says that even though a Nazir may not become Tamei, it only means that he's not only become Tamei to a Jewish corpse, but to a non-Jewish corpse, he may become Tamei. So says the Shemini Rav, if he's only working with non-Jewish corpses, so what's his problem? He could continue with his job and still remain a Nazir. It must be that he's working with Jewish corpses. But the question remains, why indeed may one receive payment for working with Jewish corpses if a mace is also Bahanah? Explains the Shabina Rav that when one works in burying, in arranging the funeral for Jewish Niftarim, says the Shabina Rav, really the obligation to take care of the Kfura is on the family. They have the obligation to bury their relatives. Just they're not able to bury their relative, so they hire someone else. So this person isn't working on behalf of the mace. He's working on behalf of the family who he may benefit from and therefore may receive payment. Although the Paiskim do say that someone who works with Niftarim is in the same category as anyone who does Avodas HaKodesh, work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the halacha is that he only may receive as payment schar b'teila what he could have, the work that he could have not worked, the payment, because he could have done something else in that time. The Chasam Sofer has a different explanation why one may receive payment to be Mekave Mason. He says the reason one may not receive payment if he works or he does business with something which is also Bahanah, because it's right to be Kiyumai. For example, the halacha is that one may not benefit from Basar B'Cholof. So if one sells items that are Basar B'Cholof, it's right to be Kiyumai. He wants those products to be in existence, so he should be able to profit from them. Here, however, it's just the opposite. The person who's a grave digger doesn't want that the mace should remain around. He actually wants to bury the mace, and therefore it's not considered right to the kiyumai. And even though the mace is also bahanah, says the Shabina Rav, says the Chasam Sofer, one can get payment for working with him. Ask the Gemara, the Lifel Gnami of Shimon Bereisha, why in the first case of the Mishnah, where the person said Hareini Nazir Amanashe Shoisi Yayin, doesn't the Mishnah quote that since he's not accepting a full-fledged Naziris, Rav Shimon should disagree and hold that he's not a Nazir? And says the Gemara, indeed, Amar Bishu ben Levi, Cholokai Rav Shimon Aparesha. Rav Shimon actually disagrees even in the first end of the Mishnah and will consider the person not a Nazir. Ravina, however, disagrees. And he says, Bereish like Paul Rav Shimon. In the first case of our Mishnah, Rav Shimon doesn't disagree. Why? Because it's considered that the person made a condition contrary to what it says in the Torah. And we have a rule, if somebody makes a condition contrary to what it says in the Torah, to not bottle, his condition is void. And as Mefarshim explained, this person made a declaration. Hareini Nazir. That is a full-fledged declaration of Naziris. Now he wants to add conditions that say that he should be allowed to drink wine. One may not make such conditions. There's a machloikis rishonim. Why is there a halacha of mashna mashakos b'tayr to not bottle? Taisvis Masech Teksubah says that, as we know, the entire concept that one can make stipulations is learned from Tanai B'nai Gadim B'nai Ruvain, where the B'nai Gadim B'nai Ruvain did not want to take their share in Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu made a stipulation with them: if they will enter Eretz Yisrael, then and take battle, then they could have a share in Eiver HaYarden. If not, not. So since that was a situation, says Tosfos, which was not contrary to what the Torah says, on the opposite, they were following the directives of Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, so too only in a situation where the condition follows the directives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Torah, is the condition a valid condition. Otherwise it isn't. The Ramban, however, says the reason the Master Mashakos Torah to know a bottle is because it's obvious that he didn't really mean what he said. A person is not going to say something which is contrary to what the Torah tells us. So it's obvious that he really didn't mean it. And as the Mefarshim explained, what is the nafkamina between the pshat of Tosfos and the pshat of Ramban? In a situation where the person wasn't aware what he was saying was contrary to the Torah. If it's, as Tosfos says, that a stipulation that's contrary to the Torah is totally invalid, so therefore his condition will be invalid, even though that he wasn't aware what he was saying was contrary to the Torah. On the other hand, if we follow the opinion of the Ramban, who says that a person really doesn't mean to say something which is contrary to the Torah, but if he wasn't aware that this was contrary to the Torah, he obviously did mean what he said, and therefore it might be that his condition is valid. But ask the Rishonim another question. If we're saying, as Tosfos just told us, that the model for where conditions are valid, where conditions are not valid, are Tanai B'nai Gadim B'nai Ruvein, so how could there ever be a valid condition by Naziris? One of the halachas of Tanoim are that Tanoim are only valid Milsa De'isa B'Shlichas, by a subject which could be given over, could be done by a shlich, by an agent. And we know that Naziris cannot be done by an agent. If I accept upon myself to be a Nazir, I can't ask someone else to fulfill that obligation on my behalf. So why are conditions, as the Mefarshim, ever valid by Naziris? So Tosfos answers that there is somewhat of a concept of Shlichus by Naziris, because the halacha is, as we learned and will learn, that someone else could bring the Kabbonis on behalf of the Nazir. So since we see that someone else could bring the Kabbonis on behalf of the Nazir, it's a proof that at least to some degree Shlichus is valid by Naziris, and since to some degree Shlichus is valid by Naziris, conditions are also valid. The Ramban, however, has a very fundamental explanation. He says when we discuss Shlichus, that the halacha of Tanoim are only valid by something which is subject to Shlichus, that's when we have a situation where there's a transaction between two people. So somebody enters into a transaction and he attaches stipulations, says the Ramban, that's only valid milsa de isa b'shlichus. However, here we're referring to a situation where the person is only talking to himself. I'm going to be a nazir with the following condition. There the halacha that has to be milsa de isa b'shlichus doesn't apply. The Ramban gives another explanation. The Ramban says that Naziris can be relevant to Shlichus, because the Ramban says that somebody could accept upon himself a Naziris based on the consent of someone else. So that, again, says the Ramban, is a proof that it's a Milsa De'isa B'Shlichus. The Ritva, however, follows a different approach. The Ritva says that the Pasuk uses the words Kiyafli Lindor Neder. The Torah teaches us as far as Nedarim and as far as Naziris. The Torah is explicitly teaching us that the person's words are to be followed, his conditions are to be taken into consideration. That's part of his accepting of Naziris and Nedarim. And as Reb Chaim Brisker explains that one is not to view a condition in Naziris as a separate entity, but rather that's the way he's articulating his Naziris. That's the way he's articulating his nether, and that's why it's not your typical Tanai. Another explanation given by the Shita is that the halacha of that it has to be a milsa de'isa b'shlichus is only referring to an action. For example, The halacha is that one cannot attach stipulations to a chalitza, because chalitza cannot be performed by a shliach on my behalf. But something which is only a dibur, which is only speaking, as the case of our Gemara, where he's only speaking, there the halacha that tanoim are only valid by milsa disa b'shlichus doesn't apply. One more pshat that I saw from the Mefarshim is that whenever you make a naziris with a condition, it's a situation of neder or pischoi imoi that we discussed is a valid way of articulating a nazir, a naziris, and we take the Pesach into consideration. I saw that the Mefarshim, the Paiskim, apply the concepts that we just discussed to interesting shaila. We notice a machloikis if tefillin should be put on during Chol HaMoed. And the Rama says that it should, Shulchan Aruch says it shouldn't, the Gra says they shouldn't, and the Taz says that even those who put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, says the Taz, one should not make a bracha. Furthermore, the Mishnah Brura and other Paiskim suggest that before one putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, those who have the minig to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, he should make the following stipulation. He should say, if I'm obligated to wear tefillin, so I'm putting on tefillin. And if I'm not obligated to wear tefillin, this should not be considered I'm doing a mitzvah. Ask the Mefarshim, based on what we just discussed, how could we say that that's an acceptable condition? Tefillin is not a milsadisa b'shlichus. One can't appoint somebody else to put on tefillin on his behalf. And we just said that something that's not milsadisa b'shlichus is not subject, cannot be subject to tanoim, to stipulations. So if we follow the opinion of the Ramban that said that whenever it's not involving two individuals, it's only involving one individual, there, even if it's not a milsa d'isa b'shlichus, we say that it's subject to tanoim. So it's very understandable. Tefillin has nothing to do with anyone else. But even explain the Mefarsha, we follow the opinion of Taisfis. What did Taisfis say? That as soon as there's any relevance to shlichus, as soon as there's any relevance to shlichus, the halach is that it can be subject to tanoim. So before she want to suggest that in the mitzvah of tefillin, there are two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, and one is the mitzvah of having the of kshatam ois al yodecha, tying the tefillin on one's hand and head. And although the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, one cannot have someone else do on his behalf, the mitzvah of tying the tefillin can be done by someone else. Someone else could tie the tefillin on me for me. And again, if we follow Tyson's explanation, that as soon as there's some shlichus aspect in this subject, it's subject to tanoim. So here too, since kshira can be done by someone else, it's subject to hilchus tanoim. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shuben Levi, according to Rav Shuben Levi, who says that Rav Shimon is even disagreeing in the first case of the Mishnah. And when a person says, Hareini Nazir, a Menashe Esh D'Yayin, he's not going to be a Nazir, according to Rav Shimon. Why? Why don't we view it as a situation that he made a declaration and then it's a Masna Mashikos B'Tayra, Amalach? So says Rav Shimon Levi, he's going to explain Rav Shimon's opinion. Hi, Amanas Kachotstami. Yes, if someone makes a stipulation, Almanas, a Tanai, he can't make a Tanai that's contrary to what the Torah tells us. But here it's not a situation where the person is making a condition, a stipulation. In his original Naziris, what he means to do is only accept it to this degree, that he's going to be a Nazir, that he should be allowed to drink wine. And since that is his entire purpose, it's considered not a condition, and therefore it's not an issue of Masna Mashikos B'Torah. And as the Chazon Ish explains, we can't always apply this concept and say that every stipulation is to be viewed not as a separate condition, but rather as part of the original acceptance. Only in Hilchus Naziris, perhaps based on what we said earlier, where this is part of the way he's accepting his Naziris, can we view it not as a condition, but really as the Mefarshim explained, a qualification in Nazirus, which according to Rav Shimon would entirely invalidate his acceptance of Nazirus. And the Mefarshim also go on to explain that the person who made this declaration has the right to say what was his intention. Was his intention that it should be a condition, or is his intention that it should be a qualification? Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei de Ravina, but we learned the Braisa that supports Ravina's explanation. Omar, the Braisa says, if somebody said, Hareni Nozir, I'm Nasha Eshoisi Yain, I'm a Nozir with the stipulation I should be allowed to drink wine, or Metam Lomesim will become Tomei to Mesim, Harei Zen Nozir, he's a Nozir. Vos Bekulan, he's a full fledged Nozir, and we don't pay attention to what he said. He's making a condition which is contrary to what it says in the Torah, and the law is the kol masna mashikos b'Torah. Such a condition to no bottle, his condition is void. The Mishnah, the Gemara goes on to quote the last case of the Mishnah. The last case of the Mishnah was where a person said, "Yedeyani shanozer os b'yayin. I am aware that a nozer may not drink wine, but I thought the Chachamim will allow me to drink wine." We have here just the opposite opinions, as we pointed out. Here Rav Shimon say that he remains a Nazir, and the Chachamim disagree. Ask the Gemara, V'amrit Reisha, in the previous case, we had just the opposite situation, where it's Osir, the Chachamim said that he remains a Nazir, and Rav Shimon matter. Says the Gemara, the first Teretz, Eimanami, here we should change the wording of the Mishnah, and say, Hareza Osir, according to Tanakama, by just accepting or having one dinim of the Naziris voided, but he has the other dinim of the Naziris, he's still a Nazir. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rav Shimon, however, says, Mutter, because if he's not having all of the dinim of the Naziris, he's not a Nazir. Vibai Seima, and the Gemara gives a different teretz. Loilam loy tepach. Don't reverse the opinions of the Mishnah. And our Gemara is telling us, says Seidim Mefarshim, a fascinating situation. We have here a fascinating situation where if we learn the Gemara until now with our introductory remarks on today's shir, we view the Rabbanon as Machmirim and Rav Shimon as a Mekel. The Rabbanon is saying even if one just accepts one aspect of Naziris, he's considered a Nazir. Rav Shimon is saying you have to accept all of the aspects of Naziris to be a Nazir. Hasam Reisha, Kagoyin the Nazir Machada. The Reisha refers to a situation where one accepted only one part of the Naziris. The Rabbanon hold, Dafilo le Nazir el ba'achsmehen, even if a person accepts only one part of the Naziris, he is a Nazir, have a Nazir v'asir. He's a Nazir, he's a full-fledged Nazir. However, if Shimon's opinion is, Ad shiyazim mikulam, he's only a Nazir if he takes upon himself all of the Dini Naziris. And therefore here, Pemutter, he's not a Nazir because he didn't accept all of the aspects of Naziris. He wanted to still continue drinking wine. However, the Sefer is referring to a situation, the Nader Mikuloi. He first accepted a full-fledged Naziris. Hareini Nazir! He's a full-fledged Nazir. And now, Vitsha Mechoder. He attempts to annul one of the aspects of Naziris. L'Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, the Amri, Afilo Nazir El Ma'achsman, have a Nazir. That in order to become a Nazir, one only has to accept one aspect of Naziris, and he is a Nazir. Similarly, Ki Mitchel Mechada, if he releases one aspect, Mitchel Mechada Minayu, if he releases himself from one of those aspects, Ishtari, he is long, longer a Nazir. However, according to the opinion of Shimon, Achi Yaz Bekulam, one is only a Nazir, but he accepts all of the aspects of Naziris. Ki Itchel Nami Mahu, to release oneself from the Naziris, it's only an effective annulment and the Mitchel Mikuloi until he releases himself from all of the aspects of Naziris. Shemachik Tani, if here we only released himself, he had himself released from only one of those aspects, Rav Shimon Oyser, Rav Shimon says, he remains a Nazir. And the Karen Oyra has a beautiful way of explaining this Gemara. He explains that the fundamental machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon is how to view the three halachas of Naziris. The halachas that he may not drink wine, he may not become tamei, he may not drink, he may not take a haircut. The Rabbanon view him as one unit. And therefore, if one accepts upon himself one of the halachas, it's considered he became a Nazir. Similarly, however, if one annuls just one of those aspects, since it's one unit, he broke that unit. It's like a situation of neder shorta mitzasoi hutakuloi, and the entire naziris is annulled. Rav Shimon, however, views those three halachas as three separate units, and accepting one of those units has no relevance to the other units, and therefore he's not a nazir if he just accepted one of the aspects. He has to accept all of the aspects in order to become a nazir. However, similarly, says Rav Shimon, in order to break the naziris, he has to release himself from all of the aspects of naziris, and if he only releases himself from one of those aspects, he will still remain a nazir. Viba Yisema, another way of explaining the machlokes of the last case of the Mishnah between Rav Shimon and Rabbanan, the machlokes refers to the Nidre Einzukumifgi. It refers to how do we view naziris that were made by Einus. A plug to the Shmuel Rav Asi, which is really the machlokes of Shmuel and Rav Asi that we learned in Masechet Nedarim. The Tanan, for we learned in Masechet Nedarim. Arba Nedarim Etiru Chachamim. There are four types of Nedarim that Chachamim said are null and void. Nidre Zeruzim, as we explained in Masechet Nedarim. Nidre Zeruzim refers to a situation where a person is bargaining, where there was a buyer and a seller, and the seller makes a nether, I'm not going to sell this item for less than 4 zuz. If I sell for less than 4 zuz, I'm usher to do or whatever something. And the buyer says, I'm not going to pay more than 2 zuz. So as the Gemara explained, he really didn't mean that he's stuck to 4. He really didn't mean that he's going to stick to 2 under all circumstances. This was just the way they were negotiating, and they both knew that they're going to probably settle on 3. The next situation was Nidre Havoy, an exaggeration, as the Gemara explained, where somebody said, I'm making a nether that I could be prohibited to eat or do something, eat something or whatever, if there weren't 600,000 people at a certain gathering. There certainly weren't 600,000 people at that gathering. He just meant to exaggerate. Nidre Shkogis is a nether that was made b'shogig. A person made a nether that if I ate yesterday, I should not be allowed to eat bread today. The person just forgot that he had eaten yesterday. And that's considered a nidre shkogis, and it's not a nether. A nidre noitzin is a situation that was unavoidable. As the Gemara Masechet Nedarim explained, a person made a nether that you may not benefit from my property if you don't attend the wedding of my son. And the person was unable to attend the wedding because he was sick, or there was a flood, there was something that prevented him from attending, that's considered an oinus, something unavoidable, and again, it's not a nether. Says the Gemara, in learning this Mishnah, we quoted a machloikis amaroim. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi, Abba Nedarim Halalu, Tzrichim Shelem. These four Nedarim require Shelem Cham, the person has to go through the process of going to Cham to have the nether annulled. However, Kamrisa Kamei de Shmuel, Amali, Tanak Tani Hitir Chum. The Tana says that these nether are null and void. That Amrit Shrikh Shail Chumim, and you say that he has to go through the process of having them annulled. And the Rush points out that even if we follow the opinion of Asi, that one, even by Nidre Einsim, has to go to Rav to have them annulled, he doesn't have to go through the full fledged process of Pesach and Charata. He just has to go to the Rav and tell him that this was the situation, and the Rav says, Mutter, you're released. So now the Gemara says that is the situation of our Mishnah. What happened in our Mishnah was that the person made, accepted upon himself a Naziris, and as we know, Naziris includes that he may not drink wine. And then the person became ill, and a part of his therapy is that he has to drink wine. So Rabbanan Sabri Kishmul, Rabbanan said, now this is considered a Nidre Einsim. And he doesn't even have to go to a Rav to have the Naziris annulled. It's completely released. However, if Shimon holds like Rav Asi, that even though it's certainly a situation of an Einis, it's not enough that he should just say it is an Einis and the Naziris becomes null and void. He has to go through the process of going to the Rav to release it. And I saw, based on this Gemara, from the Shailos HaTshuvos, I saw from the Shailos HaTshuvos Bach Savrom, that there was a person who was in a bad financial situation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him, and he was matzliach, he became successful, and he accepted upon himself a neder that instead of just giving the required 10% staka, he's going to give 20% staka. And the person said that he's going to spend every morning in shul, besides davening shachris, spend a lot of time learning. And then he started acting this way. And then, however, we know that sometimes things turn in life. And what happened then was the person again became in a poor financial situation, and he could not afford to give 20% at tzedakah. And he could not spend the time, the amount of time in shul every morning, davening and learning. He had to work to just make his meager living. Says the Machzeh Avraham that our Gemara just taught us that an oinus is not only an oinus of situation that was somewhat in the world when I articulated the nether. Even if it was something that was not at all here, as in our situation, where the person made a nazirus regarding something that made a nether, that then he was, Baruch Hashem, successful, and he wasn't at all anticipating not to be successful, that is still considered a situation of nidri oinsim, and the nether is null and void. Says the Mishnah, if somebody says, Areni nazir, I'm a nazir, v'alai l'galeich nazir, and it's my obligation also to bring the kabonis of another person. And as the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's specifically because the person followed this order. We said Hareni Nazir, and he also said V'olai L'Galeich Nazir. So we view it as two separate statements. One is a statement of being a Nazir, and then Olai L'Galeich Nazir. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, if it would be in the other order, if the person would have said Olai L'Galeich Nazir and Hareni Nazir, there the halacha is that he only is accepting upon himself a Naziris. And his friend heard him making this statement. I too am going to be a nazir and have to pay for the kabbonis of a nazir. If they are smart, they should provide for each other's kabbonis. But if they didn't do it, since they took upon themselves an obligation to bring someone else's kabbonis, the halacha will be they have to bring the kabbonis for another nazir. And as the Aruch HaShulchan continues to explain, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that it seems if these two people were speaking to each other, they probably, maybe, did not mean to provide for each other's kabbonis. They meant to bring the kabbonis of other nazirim. Still teaches us the Gemara, the Mishnah, that they can bring each other's kabbonis and have fulfilled their obligation. Ask the Gemara, Ibayluhu, Shama Chaveroi, if his other chaver heard him saying this statement, "Reini alive l'geich nazir," and he only said "vani mahu," "vani akud debur mashma," if the other person just said the word "vani," is it to be understood that he's accepting everything that the first person accepted? "Adilma apag debur mashma," does only mean that he's accepting part of that declaration. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, "I temtzalaim apag debur mashma." Is he only accepting part of the declaration? A reisha sefer. Is he accepting the first part or the second part? The part to be a nazir or the part to bring the kabbonis for a nazir? Tashma. So let's learn from our Mishnah. Where the person said, Vani v'olai l'galeich nazir. Where the second person said the statement, Imay pichim agalchim zezeh. Says the Gemara, Midakama Vani v'olai. Since the second person had to make both statements, both the statement Vani V'Alai, Shmamino, from here it seems that had he only said Vani alone, Apalgit Bure, it only reports to one part of the declaration. Amri. So now we've resolved that if somebody only says Vani, he's only accepting part of what the first person said. In. Amri in Apalgit Bure Meshma. If one only uses the word Vani, he's certainly only accepting part of what the first person said. The question is, which part did he accept? A resha, the part that he'll be a nazir, or a sefer, did he accept the part that he'll bring kabbonis on behalf of someone else? Says the Gemara, no. We can prove it again from our Mishnah. Mid the kama v'alai l'galeach, from part that the Mishnah says, on me it's the obligation to bring kabonis of a nazir, shma mina. From here we see vani, the ni is referring to the nazirus part, atchilas the bura mashma, on the part that he's going to be a nazir. Only if hun b'reidim shula rava. V'may da hachi, how could you indeed come to this conclusion? Loilam emaloch, perhaps I could tell you the vani akula de buroi. If the second person said vani, he means to accept upon himself everything that the first individual said. Ah, your question was v'imushim valai. So why did he have to add the words valai legalech nazar? Maikam valai. Baham milsa. He's just repeating what he already accepted. But if he fact only said vani, still he would have the obligation, the second person, of being a nazir and bringing kabbanis to naziris for someone else. Dilei teimahachi, if you won't explain the Mishnah this way, the Ketani Sefer, we're going to learn in a Mishnah. Amesecht and daf yud beis amabeis, if somebody said, Harei olai legalei chatzi nazir, I'm obligated to bring half of a nazir. V'sham chaver v'ama v'anei lo legalei chatzi nazir, he says the exact same statement. So it's only referring to bringing kabbanis. And yet we see that he uses both phrases. So he's saying, so we see that using both phrases is not to be understood as two obligations, as to be understood as a repetition. I'm by saying vani olai legalei chatzi nazir, nothing's added by adding the words olai legalei nazir. It's only just reiterating what he said. So too should we understand our Mishnah, ki kama alai b'ham milsa. But indeed, if somebody just said vani alone, he would be obligated in everything that the first person is obligated. Amalei Rava, hachi hashta, can you compare the two cases? Yam b'shlama reisha tzricha. If we'll say that in our Mishnah, there was a reason that our Mishnah specifically spoke about a case where a person said vani alai vani, the person said the words vani and also continued saying alai l'galeich nazir. That's why in our Mishnah there was a very specific purpose in using both phrases, because the word vani alone, as the Meiri explains, only refers to naziris, and it's only the word vani that has this power. Therefore, Sefer lo tzricha, even though in the Sefer there really was no reason for the second person to say the whole sentence of ani lo galeach chatzi nazir, but it's the way of the Gemara, Tani Sefer lo tzricha, the Sefer mentions words that are superfluous because it wants to have the same wording as the Reisha, where the wording was tzricha were required, because only when he makes both statements does he have both obligations that the first person had. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say Reish Loi Tzricha, that in the Reish, if the second person would have just said the word Vani, he would have all of the obligations that the first person had. And the only reason he added the words was just to reiterate. But there's no purpose in those words. So we have a situation where the words really don't have any meaning in the Reish. And Seif Loi Tzricha. And the Seif of the words have no meaning. So we have a situation. Tana Reish Loi Tzricha. For Tana Seif Loi Tzricha is the Mishnah, both in the Reisha and the Sefer, going to mention words that have no halachic reasoning to be mentioned. Therefore, explains the Gemara, we must explain that our Mishnah, it's only because the person made both statements, Vani, Valai, Legaleich, Nazir, does he have the obligation, all of the obligations of the first person? If he only would have said the word Vani, he would only be required to be a Nazir, not bring Kabbanis. But in the Sefer, he says both statements, even though the second part of the statement really has no meaning, it has no need, there's nothing that's gained from saying it. It's only said because we want to remain with consistent wording in both Mishnayos.